How was your week? What were the news stories and the conversations? Acumen Media breaks it down for us.
My name is Tonya Curry, and this is this week's Acumen Media Report, week ending 15th of July, 2021. The report is entitled, South Africa, You've Been Played. Last week I wrote that Zuma's arrest was an anti-climax. I have eaten my words. They were as bitter as they were dismissive. And now I don't even know if words can do justice to the shockwave that unfolded in our beloved country over the past 7 days. Cry the beloved country. What I know for sure is that my days, hours, minutes, seconds have been consumed by a surreal, unbelievable, ridiculous, horrific horror movie. South Africa is burning. And according to Acumen Media Systems, this is one of the largest stories we've had all year, and that includes COVID-19. You will be forgiven to have originally thought that the unrest, specifically in KZN, was prompted by Zuma arrest. It is not true. Well, let me clarify. It is true. But it was not civilians that started this nightmare. We saw KZN unrest and watched in alarm as buildings, factories, and key industrial players were burnt to the ground. The looting started in Durban and surrounds. It was weird from the beginning, though. We understood the looting. We didn't understand the obliteration. We didn't understand why the targets were manufacturing houses, ports, and factories. What also didn't make sense was the precision of it. Everything started burning at the same time in the same province, in a province that stretches across horizons. So-called petrol bombs were a little too aligned on building roofs. But although something was off, we ran with it. We let the chaos envelop us, and we crashed through a gushing volume of news and social media that was simply implausible and tore the provinces to the ground. We begged for the president. He took far too long. And when he gave his speech, there was no Tumamina president, no New Dawn president, no lockdown commander-in-chief dressed in military uniform. There was not even a fluctuation in his monotone voice. I was scared. The president extended level 4 and said that the army would be deployed. He also said that this is not South Africa, but he said it as a man defeated, his head hanging heavy on his shoulders. Enter Becky Cele, and I rubbed my hands together. I thought, now we're going to see action. Take it away, sir. And instead, Cele read his notes. He read them from a piece of paper. Have you ever seen Cele read a note? I haven't, and I hated it. At one point, social media was showing us how his mask had covered his eyes and face earlier, almost like a message to the nation. Was he being gagged? Now I was really scared. Was there, dare I say it, a coup d'etat? I turned to the Jacob Zuma Foundation and all the Zuma cronies to see what their messaging was. And it was this. Well done, guys. Burn it. Burn it to the ground and take the whole lot down into pieces. In fact, their likely presidential candidate, Duduzane Zuma, told us two things in a viral post. One, he was not on social media. Again, it's a viral post. And two, that people should loot responsibly. I can't believe I even said that out loud. Loot responsibly. Are you for real? That's great leadership right there. I can't leave Duduzile Zuma out of this. Becky Cele said he is investigating at least 12 instigators of this war on South Africa who use social media to incite violence. And as a media minister, Minister Cele, I can tell you exactly who they are. Both are Dudus. Jacob couldn't make up more than one name. He was too busy planning a war. Media, both mainstream and social, started reporting about the orchestration of the unrest, now reading more like guerrilla warfare. Protesters hit targets in KZN, a vast province, with the same timing and precision as a Swiss clock. This was planned. It was not Zuma supporters, nor an uprising of a Zulu nation to defend Zuma. This was a war. a war against the seated president, and we South Africans were mere pawns. We had come en masse to destroy our own food and production lines. We did it happily. Sweet God, forgive us. We know not what we have done. Was our president even in charge? Were we seeing the impact of a Zuma coup attempt? Social media certainly thought so. The president deployed 2,500 army members to defend us. What an insult. 70,000 were used to lock up a country, and that was a country that was happy to do so. Yet when we are burning, you send a handful. I was incensed. It turned out that we needed double that, still an astonishingly low number for the chaos that we were watching. We stopped holding our breath for a minute, and as the army came, so came more than bravery. Enter the key to each South African success story, Ubuntu. Realization that looting brought only more poverty, and that a feast today is a famine tomorrow. And then the most extraordinary thing happened. I don't want to accredit this miracle to one person, but if I have to be honest, Nhlanhla Lux is a hero of such magnitude, he should be given keys to the country. I would vote for him today. This gentleman, apparently a social media influencer for Township Enterprises, my ignorance is disgusting, stood up and said, enough. He said this nonsense stops with him, and it should stop with every individual. He said this standing outside the gates of Maponya Mall. He said he would die for his township and never let what happened to the other malls happen to the big elephant of Maponya. He called on all South Africans to come out and defend the supply chain and to stop allowing our land to be used as a political playground. Jabulani Mall had been torn to shreds hours before, and it wasn't happening on Nhlanhla Lux's watch. A word on Jabulani Mall. It is outside a police station. The day before, I was watching reporting where at least six policemen stood watching the looting and this horror unfold and did nothing. They did nothing on live television. When the camera panned behind the journalist, there was a police station behind him. Why didn't they deploy a water cannon? Just one would have put an end to that incineration of an essential point in Soweto. Just one water cannon would have changed the story. But instead, the police were impotent. It didn't take South Africans long to work out that what we were seeing unfold on our streets was organized, very organized, and that we'd been played. Then after an ANC-NEC and an ANC-NEC leak confirmed that they were never ready, and after they had read the room, ministers started to take to the streets. They popped up all over the place, and the places they went to were the points of violence, unrest, looting, devastation, destruction, death and disaster. Even Sihle Zikalala lost it and is on a video giving someone a real good hiding. Makura and Mbucks were quite impressive, neither taking prisoners, literally, but still giving it stick on the microphones. If we needed more reassurance, and we did, Buthelezi hammered home that this was not a Zulu war. The king addressed the nation and said that this should stop immediately and also to exercise Ubuntu when it comes to the Indian community in KZN. A word on his speech, though, and without being disrespectful, had we not had Prince Buthelezi, we would have not received a clear message from our young king. What a mess he has on his shoulders, and I can't imagine the pressure he must be feeling. I often wonder why we enforce formalities like written speeches on a president or a key state member. Why can't the king just talk? Just talk, Your Majesty. Mr. President, that goes for you too. No need for fancy English. Just talk. Be clear. Show leadership, passion, tenacity. Yesterday we saw the true heroes. The unemployed taking to the streets to clean the catastrophe as they sweep South Africa up and toss it in a pit. The military are confiscating goods. Taxi drivers are going door to door collecting stolen goods as the police put whatever they find in a container. And then what? I have no idea. Taxi vehicles formed chains around shopping areas. Security companies assembled human chains and barricaded the smaller towns in. Ordinary South Africans came out in their numbers to protect what was left after this devastation. And with that, it was almost a kumbaya moment. The whole country stood up, province by province, and said no to looting. It honestly felt like a bad scriptwriter had got hold of our country. Today, as I close this report, there are reports of vigilantism going wild in Phoenix's streets. In fact, social media wants you to believe there is a Phoenix massacre. These messages are coupled with another message, go to Phoenix. So again, I feel like I've been played. Are we going to play with the race card now? There was no racism here until late yesterday. This smacks of a plot gone wrong. On the ground, the provinces are struggling to keep up with food supply as limitations are put on stockpiling and some towns run out of bread, medication and petrol. Their plan worked, but not for long. Yes, people are hungry, but they are not stupid. A little slow on the uptake in this game of chess, perhaps, that the politicians are playing with us, but we're certainly not stupid. We were played. Mr. President, President Ramaphosa, Uncle Cyril, the war has been confined to Gauteng and KZN, and we have risen as citizens to fix it ourselves. If you ever had a clear, solid answer from your country, this is it. We will not be played. And if you would just step up, cull your cabinet, admit any wrongdoing, and pay back any money you took because you have too much anyway. If you do the right thing, we are all behind you. Don't believe that these bunch of thugs are as powerful as you are making them out to be. We are South Africa. We do things differently. And if you don't get that by now, you are missing a momentous opportunity for the future of our country. You have been played. You know who they are. Step up. Reshuffle like a boss. And by reshuffle, I mean out the door into the cells. Take our burning flag out of the ashes and raise it high. We will not be played. My name is Tanya Curry, and this is the Acumen Media Report.